Now, as I said a little earlier, not much is known about how the small arms trafficking industry, which is a global one worth billions, actually feeds into criminal syndicates. Every year we get told how many rhinos have been killed so far this year, and almost always the number is higher than the previous year. And most of the efforts around the prevention of rhino poaching have been focusing on the foot soldiers, on the poachers themselves. But the question is, and it seems an obvious one now that it has been actually asked, is where do the weapons come from? If you deal with that, maybe you might deal with the entire thing. Kathy Lee Austin is an expert in arms trafficking, peace and security, and human rights. And her specific job is to hunt down the arms traffickers. And of course, she's survived all kinds of things, including crash landings, just to document the flow of guns. And the illicit arms industry is very much a factor in what we have seen in terms of rhino poaching in South Africa. And as I said earlier, if you've seen that movie with Nick Cage, Lord of War, who plays that famous Russian arms dealer, Viktor Bout, I'll get the proper pronunciation in just a moment, sentenced, of course, to 25 years in prison, while Kathy Lee Austin was behind that investigation. She's with us in studio. Thank you so much for coming in. Firstly, let's just appreciate that.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Now, as I said, you've done all kinds of things. You hunt down these arms traffickers. You've done crash landings and all sorts of things. And you've really asked an obvious question, actually, now that we think about it, where do the weapons come from?
Well, most of the guns that are used in rhino poaching and used in crime here, they're not manufactured in South Africa. They're actually weapons that are produced overseas. And in the case of the rhino poaching networks, you'll find guns that are coming in from the Czech Republic and from the United States.
So it's really all about the illicit arms industry, the black market, so to speak.
That's exactly right. Although these companies operate as legitimate businesses, but there's a darker story behind them, and that is how they actually are working together to ensure that weapons get into the hands of criminal networks.
So, I mean, is it that we're just not doing enough background checks on how the arms industry is concerned? Do you think that there's collusion in terms of how those weapons make it into South Africa? Talk to me about all of that.
Well, I think there's a number of reasons why no one is focused on the guns. One, there is high-level corruption, and so there has been very little efforts tackling those guns. There's also just been neglect. And then you have people on the ground who basically have fought or been in wars before, acting as private security operatives in the anti-poaching forces, but they have no background, no experience in dealing with organized crime.
So if we are to deal with rhino poaching decisively, we need to look at the arms industry. We need to look at the illicit flow of weapons into this country.
Absolutely. You have a treasure trove. You've got those weapons that have been recovered from rhino poaching crime scenes and from poachers. And those weapons have serial numbers often. And you can begin to trace those serial numbers and see who are the kingpins that are bringing those weapons into the country, distributing them to the poaching teams, and they are the ones who are making the profit off the rhino horn.
Now, you were on television last night, and I watched, of course, your investigation as it was shown by Carte Blanche, and this, I imagine, has been some response to what you had to say.
There was an overwhelming response, and I think basically what was shown that the country is experiencing a wake-up call as to why the authorities have not until now really tracked those guns.
Do you think that there are connected people in powerful positions who are making those that should be looking into this look the other way?
There have been a number of attempts by me to try to stop very specific weapon shipments coming into Africa. And there have been calls of action that I've gone to the authorities and asked them, please,
Would you look at that consignment, for example?
Exactly. We just need your cooperation. All you need to do is pick up the phone, send a one-line email to the Portuguese authorities or the Czech authorities or the American authorities and tell them to stop those weapon consignments. And we've had absolute silence.
So that tells you that this is a problem that could go all the way to the top.
there is collusion. Clearly, there is corruption. It seems like nobody really wants to stem this problem, partly because you have people making money off the illegal rhino horn, but also you have people making money off of the anti-poaching efforts. Millions of dollars are being spent here, pouring in from donors around the world. And so you have a lot of anti-poaching forces who are on the front line who don't necessarily want to win that war, just enough to keep the guns, I mean, the money flowing.
So will the rhino become extinct, do you think?
I believe if there is a wake-up call, if everyone starts demanding that authorities follow the guns and begin to tackle the organized criminals behind this, the corruption, the collusion, we may see that the rhino survives.
But the very nature of the arms industry is that it's murky, is that it's dirty, even when it comes to legal guns.
That's right. And so it's very important for countries to have very strong laws in terms of regulation. Now, South Africa does have strong laws. That is one of the reasons why these guns were coming across the border from Mozambique. Mozambique was the source of most of these weapons.
Tell me about the time to crime methodology that you used to build your evidence. It was, of course, influential in that expose of that Russian kingpin that was played by Nick Cage.
Well, one of the most astounding things I saw is when I started tracing the guns back using their serial numbers, I saw that there was a measurement of time of when those guns were sold at retail in a gun shop to when they got onto the rhino killing field. That measure of time sometimes was only weeks, but typically just months. So that meant that you had a dedicated gun supply chain. It was that dedicated gun supply chain that allowed poaching to rise to an industrial level.
It's really shocking, very disheartening in a way, but that's the way it is. That's, of course, Kathy Lee Austin, who's the Executive Director of Conflict Awareness and Arms Traffic Investigator. Thank you very much for joining us in the studio this morning. We may yet one day find there are, in fact, no more rhinos.